10th chapter, the Gospel of John, is the chapter on the sheep and the shepherd. I want to read a few verses that we might get our minds on the subject of the sheep and shepherd and the sheepfold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. That's all I'm going to read just now. Not only is Jesus the door to the sheepfold, he's also the door to the sheep. But when I think of Jesus as a shepherd and think of the sheep, my mind goes back to that account of John the Baptizer seeing the Lord approaching as he had been ministering there by the Jordan River. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord himself is the Lamb of God. He's also the shepherd of the sheep, and he's the door to the sheep, and he's the door to the sheepfold. Now, that took me back to Genesis 4. I got to thinking of something, and so my mind went back to the fourth chapter of Genesis and the fourth verse, which said, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock. The firstling of his flock. The only animals with which I'm familiar that are called flocks are sheep. And a sheep or a lamb or a ram or a goat is a more common sacrifice throughout the Old Testament than the bullock or the ox or the red heifer. And so starting here with the first sacrifice as offered was a lamb, a firstling of the flock, a young lamb. Then we carry that on through, typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. in my own mind, I'm persuaded that the animals that God slew, out of which he made coats of skin for Adam and Eve, I feel in my own mind they were lambs also. I think I told you once a coat I saw, lamb skin made out of calico, that sell these coats sold for $30,000-$40,000, made out of lamb skin. That was during the Depression. I don't even know whether you could buy one now or not, whether they make them anymore. These endangered species. Well, we won't go into that tonight. Just remember that every living creature that moveth, God made for meat for man. So if you have any trouble, quote them the Bible. But Jesus, the Lamb of God. I ran across an interesting thought concerning sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Why not all we like horses have gone astray, or all we like cattle have gone astray, or all we like dogs or cats have gone astray? It's because the sheep is the one animal that goes astray, gets lost. The sheep is the one animal that never knows where its home is and never comes home. The sheep has to be led or driven, guided, directed by man. The sheep gets lost, it's lost. Doesn't know where it is and doesn't particularly care, evidently. But all we like sheep have gone astray. So we keep that thought in mind as we look at this experience of the shepherd with the sheep and leading the sheep. Now verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I didn't have opportunity while we were in Israel that brief time to study a sheepfold, but I did notice one thing about their flocks of sheep. They were small. One man tending a flock of sheep looked like there'd be 15 or 20, maybe 25 in one flock of sheep. And that was all. I've spoken about spending one summer on a sheep ranch. There were over 13,000 sheep in that one flock. And they scatter out across the hillside, sheep as far as you can see, but in Israel. And that will explain some of the things that come out here that one unfamiliar with the sheep in the land of Israel, but familiar with the sheep in this country and in Australia, couldn't understand. At night, they'd bring them into a sheepfold surrounded by a high fence, 10, 12 feet high. The door, one opening into the sheepfold. Just one. The only way you get in is through that one door. Reminiscent of the one door into the ark. That speaks to us and tells us that there's one way into the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door of salvation. We enter through the Lord Jesus Christ. There was but one door to the ark. And anyone who got into the ark had to go through that one door. One door to the sheepfold. Anybody got into the sheepfold, they had to go through this one door. Could anybody get in any other way? They were thieves or robbers. Not supposed to be there. Of course, we know that nobody's going to be in Christ that's not supposed to be there. But the sheepfold, the place where they are, you'll see another figure in a moment, has reference to the corporate body of those who are Christians, and some get in among them who are thieves and robbers. Has it ever registered on your consciousness that there is but one way of salvation? I've been called dogmatic because I give utterance to the fact that there is but one way of salvation. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the confusion if there were several ways of being saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. One door. And Christ says, I am the door. Look at it in this ninth verse. I am the door. Now keep that in mind when somebody tells you there's no such thing as types in the Bible. The Lord says, I am the door. In another place, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the light of the world. On and on, things that he claimed for himself. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. One way, and one way alone. It's Jesus Christ, or else. And we needn't be ashamed to tell anybody that. Any walk, every walk of life. I spoke of Mr. Seaton's death. It brought back to me one occasion when I first met him. He was in the hospital convalescing from throat surgery. And on that occasion, talked to him about the Lord and his relationship to the Lord. He was anxious to talk about it. His confession clear. He had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, him and him alone. You needn't be ashamed to talk to anybody about it. Why? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. But the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I've talked to children 5 or 6 years of age. I've talked to some of the wealthiest men in this part of the United States about the Lord. I've talked to the intelligentsia. I've talked to those uninstructed in formal education. There's power in the gospel of Christ. And when you're talking about the gospel of Christ, that is, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scripture, you're talking about something that has power. And the Lord is present and He blesses. One door, and Christ is that door. Every man, woman, boy, and girl you see or hear about anywhere that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is doomed to spend eternity separated from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, I just think perhaps they'll get there. Perhaps the God of love will not do this and the God of love will do that. There's one door, and one door alone. Don't let anybody deceive you with the cliche, we're all going to the same place, but we're going different roads. There's just one road, there's just one door, and that one door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said I didn't examine or see any sheepfolds while I was in Israel, but I've seen pictures of them. None of them have gates on them with hinges, and none of them have bars that are put up. Many or several different shepherds with their flocks would bring them all into the one fold, and one or more of the shepherds would sleep in the opening which they come and go. That would keep the sheep from getting out. It'd keep the wild animals from going in. And I have read, after George Adam Smith, who spent several years over there studying these things, talking with an Israeli shepherd one occasion, and seeing the sheepfold with no door or gate or anything, ask him about it. And the shepherd said, I am the door. And he said, I don't understand. He said, well, I lie, I sleep there in the door or the gate of the opening. I sleep there. Jesus is the door. You don't get inside without going through by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when morning would come, the shepherds would come. Their herds or flocks were so small that each sheep had a name. Now, we did this. We came across a flock of sheep over there along the side of the road. I guess there's 15 or 20 in it. And I know Brother Bill Phillips and Brother Bill Lee and several got out and went out in, walked through the sheep, talked to the shepherd. And the sheep were tame, you might say, domesticated, unafraid, moved among them freely. But each shepherd here, as the Lord is talking about, each shepherd knew his own sheep He called them by name. They knew his voice. They knew his voice. Let's read here. The second verse. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. In this instance, the porter would symbolize, typify the Holy Spirit. He opened, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. This passage of scripture in the Old Testament, which God speaking of Israel, and I think it's also applicable to the Gentiles or to us Christians. God says, I have your name engraved in my hand. I have seen boys, I think, and some girls back in the first, second, or third grade there have somebody's initials on their hand or in their hand. I saw one fella in high school. He read some book about the circle. Somebody had branded one of the circle, and he got fooling around the chemistry lab with some kind of acid and made a circle, and it made a scar there. Scar tissue rose up nearly a quarter of an inch. 20-30 years after it, I met him in another city somewhere. As soon as I shook hands and looked at his hand, it's still there, just like it always was. But now, my name is engraved in the hand of God Almighty. My name is engraved. So is yours if you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. Now this shepherd knows his sheep by name. He knew me by name before the foundation of the world. Each shepherd calls his sheep. A stranger they will not follow. He calls them by name. And he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow him. They don't drive them. They lead them. I have been told, I have never seen an instance of it, but I've been told oftentimes when sheep are moving, if one goes over a brow or a bluff, the others blindly follow and just go on over too. They just follow the leader. Never look one way or the other. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I wish some of you in your leisure time would make an extensive study of sheep, their habits, their customs, characteristics. How apropos in regard to our being the sheep of his fold. They follow him, they know his voice. It's amazing. I know about a dog knowing your voice. I know about a dog even knowing our car motor. When we had our dog, I know sometimes when we'd go west, we'd have to leave him with the vet for two, sometimes maybe 3 weeks. We left him down here on Cherokee Boulevard at Dr. Humphrey's place when he was there, and the dogs were in the back in a pen. They couldn't see a thing in the world. But we'd be gone 3 weeks, and when we would drive up in front, we could hear him start barking. He knew the car. Sometimes on the mountain, we'd be going home, and we'd see him there playing with a bunch of dogs, and he'd hear the motor. He'd cut through the brush and around and beat us there and be standing on guard when we got there, like he'd been there all the time we'd gone. Now the sheep know their master's voice. Now we are the sheep of his fold. Do you know the master's voice? Do you know when the Spirit is speaking? Do you know when the Lord is speaking through his word? A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. If they speak not according to this word, it's because the truth is not in them. And you should know the voice of a stranger. He doesn't speak according to this. Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. There have always been opponents of God and opponents of the Word of God and opponents of the servants of God. They're called thieves and robbers. Paul tells us that after I'm gone, grievous woes will rise up among you from even among the brethren. Now, a robber and a thief will steal sometimes sheep to eat, sometimes to sell, sometimes for their wool. But wolves kill for the pleasure of killing. The wildcat will do the same. I know one morning on the sheep ranch, out riding around, some of the men were, I wasn't with them at the time, but they found 30 some odd little lambs that had been slain during the night. Not eaten, or their bodies mangled or anything. A wildcat had just bitten them through the head, pierced them, and just go from one to another. Another thing, dogs from town, about 12 miles from town, a large group of dogs get together and come out sometimes, 10, 15 dogs in one bunch, and they just get into a bunch of sheep and just kill them one after another just for the sake of killing. Wolves, there are those who will come into a flock of the Lord to destroy, just for the sake of destroying. Some to move them from one place to another. The Lord's rebuke of the Pharisees on one occasion was that they scoured heaven and earth to make one proselyte. He said, after you've so done, you've made him twice more child of hell itself. Now, I am the door, and all these others that have come in other ways are thieves and robbers. That ninth verse again. I am the door. That cannot be emphasized too much. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, how does one enter in? How is one born again? How does one become a child of God? To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, authority to become the children of God, to as many as believed on his name. To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive the Lord as your Savior. Now he continues. He should go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that you might have life. That's the first purpose of the coming of our Lord. That we might have life. In him is life. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And I have come that you might have life. We're dead in trespasses and sin, conceived in iniquity and brought forth in sin. And the Lord came that we might have life, having life, then that we might have it more abundantly. To be born again is the beginning of the Christian experience, not the end. It's a beginning. Then, by the grace of God, there's to be growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That expression, good shepherd, opens us the discussion of the three classes of the shepherd, illustrated so dramatically by the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm. The 22nd Psalm describes the good shepherd, the shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. In the 22nd Psalm, you study that whole psalm, speaks of the life, trial, crucifixion of the Lord. The great shepherd is described in the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd who provides for the sheep. 22nd, he dies for his sheep. 23rd, he provides for it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as we go through the rest of that psalm, it tells us the things of which we shall not want, things we shall not lack. And then the 24th psalm tells of the chief shepherd who, coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, shall rule and reign over his inheritance. And verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now, how did he die? Verse 11, he gave his life. He gave his soul, which is in the blood. As Isaiah 53 says, he poured out his soul unto death for us and for our sins. He giveth his life for the sheep. Christ died for my sin as if I were the only person in the world. That's an humbling thought. The power of God is such that his death is so efficacious that it's as powerful for one as it is for all, and it's as powerful for all as it is for one. Giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. There are those shepherds who minister to the flock of God for hire. Many is the time I've heard a shepherd of a flock on this earth say, "How much do you pay?" And their decision to shepherd the flock or not shepherd the flock is determined by the hire or how much, not whether the Lord wants me here or not, not whether or not the Lord will provide, but the hireling, one who is hired out. A pastor in a neighboring town, about 30 miles from where I was pastor, called me one day and wanted to exchange pulpits with me for one Sunday. He wanted me to preach on tithing then he said that the deacons were giving him a hard time, that they said he prayed too long and he preached too long, and he was wanting me to say something about that, kind of get that straightened out. And I said, "Well, I can't say anything about that because they've got a right to tell you what to do." He said, "No, they don't." I said, "Yes, they do, too. Do your deacon tell you how long to preach and how long to pray?" I said, "No." "Well, why do mine have the right and yours don't?" I said, "Well, you hired out to them." And I knew that when he went there, they offered him 150, he wanted 300, and they argued and they dickered and fussed and bargained, horse traded back and forth, and finally he agreed to go to work for him for $200 a month. They hired him for $200 a month. I said, "You are a hireling. They hired you, and they have a right to tell you what to do." The hireling. The shepherd, the true shepherd, cares for the sheep because of his love for them, because of his interest in them, and he wants to provide for them. And when the wolf comes, the true shepherd meets the wolf head on, fights him off. We read of David protecting the flock he was herding by his physical prowess. But the wolf scares the hireling away. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, careth not for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, when God first began to deal with the human race, he dealt with the human race as a whole. But that did not prove satisfactory. So God called out a little flock, and God established a fold. He established a fold. That fold was known as the house of Israel. Now, some Gentiles or strangers could enter in that house, but only through the one door. And the one door to the fold or the house of Israel was the rite of circumcision, which was given to Abraham. Any stranger or Gentile submitting to that was permitted to go in and partake of their Passover feast and other customs with them. But that was the door. But the Lord came, and he moved among the children of Israel. He entered the fold, moved all around the fold. He was a stranger to them. They knew him not. They knew not his voice. And this blind man of whom we were reading in this ninth chapter, we find was thrown out of the fold. He was thrown out of the fold because the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to him, and he upheld the Lord before the Sanhedrin, before the rulers, and they threw him out. After he was thrown out, then the Lord took him and met him. And we find the Lord then turning from that fold and establishing another fold. He's speaking of it right here in the 16th verse. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Up until this point, we've heard of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've got other sheep. And they're not of this fold. They're not of the house of Israel. I've got other sheep, the Gentiles from among them, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's a fold in which is neither Jew nor Gentile. That's a fold which we call the Church of the Living God. There's one fold. Now we have that beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament, where children of Israel are divided into two groups, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Eight tribes in the Northern Kingdom and two in the Southern. Ephraim is the one known in the North, and that of Judah in the South. Those two are going to be brought back together, and David is going to be head over them. Then the Lord is going to take his sheep from among the Jews and his sheep from among the Gentiles, make one fold. There's going to be one shepherd, and the Lord is going to be the shepherd over them. We'll go into that more in detail next week. Now, this fold of the Lord, the one fold, the one shepherd, one door. For that fold, one door. We profess many things, but these things are not convictions with us. We may hold certain truths. We may have certain convictions, but these truths don't have hold of us, and these convictions don't have hold of us. I'm talking about this. Every person you know, and I know, every person that none of us know that has not accepted Christ as their Savior is lost. And every person that departs this life lost, according to the Word of God, will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Now just remember how people get up and flee to a house on fire to help rescue somebody in it. And the burns and the losses are temporary. But here's a person dying, sinking into an everlasting lake of fire, and nobody cares. I am the door. I am the door. There's one way to be saved and one way alone. And all who do not believe on the Lord as their Savior are damned to spend eternity in that lake of fire. That's the gospel truth. Father, burn that truth into our hearts, into our beings. And then, O Lord, it'll bear fruit in our lives. We thank Thee that Thou hast made known unto us that Jesus Christ is the door. Thank Thee for the faith whereby we entered that one door. We thank Thee for our salvation. We're not proud of our failures. We're not proud of our sins. Forgive us, O Lord. Use us yet to Thine honor and glory. We ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.